everyone. From me, Brent Graham. It's Thursday night time for the Handicap Rugby Chat That Matters. Well, good news. I've got a guest who hasn't been on for quite a while returning to the show. He took a bit of a break from punting, but he's back in full force. And it's welcome to the Oracle, Gavin Cohen. Gavin, how are you, mate? Good to see you. It's been a while since we've certainly seen each other, although we have been WhatsApping quite a bit. You well?
Yes, very well. Thank you, Brent. Good to be back. I haven't had a bet. I've just certainly kept it a lot lower than I would have normally done in the past. So, yeah, I did okay a couple of weeks ago. I got, not this last weekend, the weekend before, I got all four right, all the South African teams. So, yeah, it's been interesting rugby. And I think a lot of people are, I'm going to say, surprised by firstly, the strength of the teams that are put out against us, especially in this Challenge and Champions Cup, and also how we've done overseas and how the teams have done coming to South Africa. So, I mean, last week was a great example. I thought the Stormers would win by 20 plus, and I think they scraped home with 13 or 14, and another handicap was 15, so it was below that. But I was very surprised at that. Certainly considering that they're not playing full strength teams, these clubs. And I think it's probably about, I'm not going to say once, but it's a couple of times a year where they probably play full strength, and the rest of the time they're diluting it and mixing and matching and rotating squads, and something we're not really used to in South Africa. I was chatting to a guy in Ireland the other day, a rugby mate of mine, and he was asking me, do I think the Sharks are going to go over there with a full-strength team? And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of a question is that? Of course they are. But we're starting to do the same thing, which is irritating, because in Super Rugby, we never did that. We went to New Zealand and Australia with a full-strength team. Yes, the Lions, in particular, I think it was the 2017, the last game of the round robin, where they went to Argentina with a weakened team. But it was rare. It wasn't the, it was the exception, not the rule. Whereas for these guys, it seems to be the rule, not the exception. And the only time they'll put up a full strength team is maybe a semi-final or a final. So yes, we as punters have got to get used to the fact that we can't just use statistics and previous results to give us anything here. This is really down to the guys like the conductor and the like, that know every single player and where they've been and how they've done. It's a hell of a hard, I feel sorry for bookmakers out there trying to price up this rugby, because it is. It's extremely different and difficult compared to what we've been used to in the past.
Yeah, 100%. And first of all, just to welcome the guys in the live chat there with us now. But again, I'm pleased you raised that, because I've been thinking about it. And I'll be straight, even with the show, I've noticed a lot of the guests that I normally get on and that sort of stuff, they just haven't been that. I'll message a guy and I'll go, geez, I'm just not that into the punting at the moment. And guys are battling with their rugby punting, and certainly myself included. And I can't wait for one thing, and I'm sure you will agree with me on this. I cannot wait for next week when the Six Nations gets going, because there we know every team is coming out full strength against full strength, and there's none of this guesswork involved. And normally I like the guesswork because I like to think I've got an edge, but I definitely don't have an edge in these tournaments at the moment. But Six Nations, how excited are you for that one?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I'm still going to go back to that weekend. I think it was 2018. Could have been 2017 when the guys had priced up the Bulls at 6-1 to beat the Hurricanes in the first game of the Super Rugby. It was the same weekend as the Six Nations when Scotland were playing England. One of my best doubles. Close to 40-1, Scotland to beat England and the Bulls to beat the Hurricanes on the board. And I tell you what, I went to a mate's party that night, and I'll never forget. And on the way in from the driveway to the back, you get the lounges in the way. And I arrived at about 3 PM, and I promptly sat myself down on a couch and started watching the rugby. And I was obviously having a few bets, and I'd already had my bets earlier. I never made it to his party. I just didn't get to the rest of the house. And eventually passed out on the couch and had to go home. But it was a massive day for me. Small money and huge results. And, yeah, I love the Six Nations. I think a lot of guys are asking me about the World Cup, and I'm still a South African and Irish punter. I know that the French obviously can win. Sure, they can win. They're at home. They're too short for me. And I think the value lies with South Africa and Ireland. Ireland obviously never having had won this tournament before. And I really think it's down to just four teams. New Zealand obviously can always win. South Africa can always win. France and Ireland, they can win as well. I don't think there's anyone else. A possible distant fifth is England. So this Six Nations is going to tell us, out of the two, Ireland and France, who are the you know, who's putting their foot down and saying, I want this World Cup, because it's a Northern Hemisphere World Cup. The gap between the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere have closed dramatically since the last World Cup and even the one before that. So, yeah, it's going to be very exciting for us rugby punters and fans, for that matter. Yeah, it's a great year ahead. I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, just before we get into the rugby, talking about exciting announcements, we've got a partnership, a sponsorship to announce tomorrow, and that is going to be for the Six Nations on the Handicap Show. So we've got a new sponsor coming on board next week. You don't have to shave anything this time. I can promise you that. It's a bookmaker. It's a betting-related sponsor. And they're going to be putting up lots of prizes during the Handicap Show. If you haven't subscribed to the newsletter yet, we'll be announcing that tomorrow, as well as a competition, which you'll see the details in the newsletter. It's something a little bit different to what we've had before, but it's certainly worth a bit of bucks and potentially worth a lot of bucks. So keep an eye on the newsletter. There is a link down below, and you can subscribe to that. And we'll have more on that, obviously, in the forum and the build-up next week. But very looking forward to having that sponsor on board. It's certainly going to give the show a nice injection. But, Gav, let's get into things now. We've got URC to talk about. We've got two games on Friday night. Both of them feature South African teams. The first one, Ulster versus the Stormers. And here we've got Ulster minus 8.5. If I'm not mistaken, the money has come for Ulster. I think this has moved from a minus 5.5. I'll check. Thoughts on Sports actually sent me a mail earlier just confirming a WhatsApp. But I think the money's come here for the home team.
So the question first up is, do you know anything about the team? Sorry, Brent, I've not seen any of that. And as I said earlier, this does seem to make a big difference. And Stormers not having played there before, or not having played against Ulster in Ulster, you know, their form has been reasonable overseas. I mean, reasonable against overseas teams. And I'm going to think, if this thing gets into the double digits, I've got to be a Stormers punter. I don't expect Ulster to put the Stormers away, probably win the game. And, you know, at minus 8, you're looking at 5-2, possibly 28-10, as much as 3-1 if you look around, I suppose. Sorry, that's one of our new little puppies barking around in the background, so don't worry about that. He's probably barking at my voice and not yours. I don't want to sound like I'm doing anything patriotic here. I have, most of my bets have been for the South African teams, and I'll tell you why. I'm of the opinion, and I don't think I'm very wrong here. In fact, I'm pretty close to accurate. Is the European bookmakers are looking at us and thinking, or maybe their books are showing them that the punters are backing their teams against ours. And we've seen it. We saw it with the World Cup final in 2019. There was so much money on England that South Africa's price became so juicy that I personally didn't stop. I didn't stop. I kept going. Every time there was a price move, I kept going. And the same kind of thing is happening over here, especially when they play in Europe. I'm finding that we're getting 2, 3, 4 points more than we should be getting because of money. Not because of anything else. It's just because of the amount of money that's going on the games in Europe. So, you know, if you're going to say to me, we've got last year's champions at a double-digit plus in Ireland, I'm going to say, I'm happy. I'll take them. How much will I put on? Not that much. I've had a couple of half-time bets and I've been all right, you know, different to what I took before the game. But seriously, when we get to 8.5, I'm a Stormers punter. Absolutely. 1 or 2, board price at 6 or 7 or 10, 8 to 10, Ulster, I'm probably taking them. But at this kind of number, it's too high for me. I'm a Stormers punter. And if they were 5.5, I'm going to suspect that they're going to carry on. And I'll tell you one more thing that's also very interesting about money. It doesn't matter how much money goes on the Stormers in South Africa. It's all about the money in Europe on Ulster. They're not moving their price in Europe because of the money we've got on a game here. Some South African bookmakers might come down a little bit, but they always going to be in line with what's there because their price is being set in Europe. It's not being set in South Africa.
Yeah, very good point there. Fareed just was commenting the team sheets out, so I had a look at that. I think the Stormers have made something like 13 changes to their side. So they're still fielding, in my opinion, a decent side, and I tend to be leaning with you on the plus, Gav. Ulster, Fareed did mention there, seven players out for the Six Nations, and that, of course, what makes what makes this week very tricky is the Six Nations. I tend to agree with you there. I think we're both in the same camp for this one in that we're not particularly strong, but we're leaning towards the Stormers. And I see Johan coming in and also suggesting Stormers on the plus. So the money has come. It's come from -5.5 to -8.5. But as Kevin rightly says, that's overseas money. And, you know, you could probably – all of us who watch the show can now back the +8.5. It's not going to budge the market at all. It's all going to depend what happens overseas there. Fareed also joining us on the plus. So, Gav, for a game where none of us were that strong, we've actually got quite a bit of unity here amongst the guys on the live chat and ourselves.
Yeah, so you pointed out something else, which is very interesting, and that's the it affects the Sharks more than it does the Stormers, is that this team playing the Sharks, and all of these teams for that matter, because of the Six Nations coming up, it's liquidated these teams. So, yes, you're going there. I'm not going to call it a B Stormers team, and I'm not going to call it an Ulster B team, but it's not full strength, and that's what we've got to come to expect. And, you know, you've just got to cast your eye across the Atlantic to the American. The Americans, they play in a two-week period, they're playing 6 or 7 NBA games. The ice hockey guys are playing 6 or 7 games in 2 weeks. These baseball guys are playing, seriously, 6 games a week. They don't have their strongest team at all times. So us being used to the strongest team all the time has probably got to stop, because it's going to change. The global sporting thing is we're going to get bigger squads. We're going to get 50. There's going to be 50 Sharks and 50 Stormers and 50 Lions playing in a month, at least once. And that's what's going to happen in the world of sport. I mean, we used to playing, you know, 10, 12 times a year. The Springbok guys playing for the Springboks playing 15 times a year. But the Springboks are going to play 25 times a year in the future. And this full strength concept is going to go away. And you're just going to have to be clever and work out how it is. So, yes, as much as Ulster have lost a couple of players to their national side, you know, the Stormers are taking this opportunity saying, hang on a second, we don't need to send our best team here. We'll be competitive with a reasonable team, and the guys can rest and we'll take care of the games at home. I just want to ask, before we go into the Blue Bulls game, I want to ask a question, and I was a bit misled. I think I was misled. This Champions Cup and Challenge Cup, I was told that there were no playoff games in South Africa. Now, I see that the games are taking place in South Africa and have taken place in South Africa. I know that the final is a designated place, a specific venue. Do you know if right up until the semi-final there could be games in South Africa?
Last 16 games in South Africa. If I'm not mistaken, the quarterfinal could also be in South Africa. I stand to be corrected. Maybe the guys in the live chat can come in. The semi-finals are going to be at neutral venues, but I understand those neutral venues will be in Europe, and then the final will be at the Aviva Stadium. But we'll let the guys...
We spoke about this a few months ago, about the outright, and I backed all the South African teams in all of these competitions. And they were stupid prices. I think the lowest price was something like 33-1 to win anything. I mean, none of these bets I took were under 20-1. And I think that they all thought that no games would take place in South Africa once they got past that first round. So I haven't looked at betting lately, but that's, yeah.
It just shows us.
We've got to learn how it works.
Yeah, I put a couple of bets on. I had a competition in last week's newsletter, and for subscribers to the newsletter, two guys won a 100 rand bet, which I put on my account. And the one guy took Stormers, I think, at 12-1. Sharks at 12-1 and Stormers at 22-1. But I hear you there. I think a lot of people got that wrong. Let's move on there, because although I didn't think we'd be talking about time at any stage, I do have the Met show at 10 o'clock. So for the guys who like
it, we'll be finished before that,
So I need to finish by about 10-2 so I can at least wrap that up. Let's go to Scarlets up against the Blue Bulls. I can tell you money here for the Bulls, Gav. There was a -4.5. It's out to -9.5 now, which of course means you get +9.5 on the home team. I have looked at the team sheets here. The Bulls, for me, putting out a pretty strong side here. I think the Bulls, I mean, yes, they're there in the Heineken Champions Cup as well, but they seem to be unsure of where to focus their energy. I think the Bulls are going to turn their attention now to the URC. I think it's their best chance of silverware, and I think that's where they're going to focus their attention. For me, handicap probably about right, but I'm leaning even the Bulls, even at levels of 9.5. I'll have a nibble on the Bulls. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I agree with you, Brent. I think this is a single-digit number here is probably too low. In fact, it is too low. This could be as much as 20 or 25. The Scarlets team has not impressed me. They scraped time against the Cheetahs. And they really, the Welsh teams have been so bad in this competition that you actually don't know how strong their team is when they come up with a lineup. And I'm not great with these, with the players. But yeah, this number is way too low for me. I'm a Bulls minus punter. But I also want to say, just going back even before we spoke about the Stormers game, my stakes this week are a hell of a lot lower than they normally are because of this. Yeah, especially in this case, these two teams playing overseas against potentially weakened squads because of their national duty. And I don't know how many of these Scarlets players play in the Welsh team, but it's got to affect them as well, especially players that were hoping to get in and now might be a bit disappointed because they weren't in. You know, there's a bit of dejection there as well. So, yeah, I'm a Bulls punter here. In fact, the finalists of last year, both overseas at the moment this weekend. This could be a nice double, minus and a plus double, sorry, a handicap double of anything from 5-2 to 3-1, depending on what you take. And yeah, these two for me are probably the best bets in South Africa this weekend.
For Riedel, he's done his homework. He says Scarlets losing three players, including the captain. Oh, no, he says six players in the Wales team, three forwards and three backs. So certainly something to look out for. I like the talk of doubles and that, because on a week like this, where perhaps it's a bit risky, sometimes it's better to just say, well, look, I'm either going to be very right or very wrong and stick a few teams in and see what you can do. Let's move on to the next game. And this is a Benetton up against Munster. Benetton plus 5.5 at home. They've impressed me, Gav, but without knowing, and I don't know all the players in that, like you say, like the likes of Farid and the conductor do, but I'm guessing they really have lost a lot to the Italian side, but I'm sure Munster given a good few weight to the Irish side as well. What do you think of this one? Any interest?
I'm going to tell you that the Munster minus here is the obvious bet. Again, small stakes, but it's the obvious bet. This Benetton has done absolutely nothing to this team. If you could look at every single result you like, and I don't care how many Benetton players are lost to the Italian team, I don't think it makes any difference. The Munster, their B side will beat this team. It's good enough. I know that this is the team that the Bulls got smashed up in that dodgy little Rainbow Cup thing a while ago. But yeah, I'm a Munster punter at 5.5. I wouldn't be taking the 5-10 to win the game, but I certainly would take the minus here. And again, small stakes, not getting involved at any sort of level.
Well, Farid saying they're Benetton losing 16 players. So for those of you who don't know, there's 15 in a rugby team and they're losing 16. So that's a pretty heavy knock.
Yeah, but it's still not going to tell me to go to the next stake level, if that makes any sense. My stake level is still the same. I'm not going to start lumping on because Benetton have lost more players. I really don't think that makes any difference.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I agree with you on stake. And that's, I think, why I'm itching for the Six Nations. Because I've honestly been treading water in the rugby. I will say that I'm probably, my head's dipping a little bit below and I'm swallowing a bit of water and I'm coming back up in this rugby. But I'm not drowning, but I'm also not flying. And I cannot wait for the Six Nations to get stuck in. Let's have a look, though, at the next game. This is another Welsh team have impressed me at times this season. The Dragons, they did go down 25-30 to the Lions last week in that Challenge Cup match. But at home, they have been quite a tough nut to crack at times. They're playing against a Glasgow side here. And we got Dragons plus 4.5. Gav, I have no opinion on this one. I'll hand over to you.
Yeah, so just go back to that Lions game. So they've actually played them three times, if I'm correct. I think it's three times.
Definitely twice. They drew 30-all, I think, at Ellis Park the first time. I don't know if they played.
No,
they may have played a game as well.
That was the second game. They played the Lions before that
as well.
They
probably played them in the URC as well, but I can't remember the outcome.
Yeah, they played. Yeah, they lost to the Lions. The handicap was, I think it was 15, and the Lions were leading by 15 for most of the game, and then they lost. And then it was the 30-all game. The Lions came back and beat them. And I'm going to tell you, as much as I'm wearing a Lions shirt tonight, that's not a barometer of any standard whatsoever. They won all. In fact, Ryder Cup term, they won 1-1. That's what they are in match play here against the Lions. So, this Glasgow team, looking at a couple of the results that they've had recently, I'm going to say, the Glasgow for me is probably the value. I wouldn't. The Dragons have done okay, but this is, I'm a Glasgow Miners.
Let me throw this in to you, Gav, because Fareed just making the point, and I think this there's such a difference in these numbers that it could make quite a big difference. Dragons losing four players, Glasgow losing 15 players, and I think that probably has you looking at this and going, maybe the Dragons can actually pull this off. And I'm going to say to you, based on Fareed's advice, I'm not going on the handicap. I'd rather just back the Dragons on the board then.
No. This doesn't matter to me. They both teams are losing players. And when they say they're losing 15 players, how many of them have played in the last 3 weeks? That's another thing. I don't know. I'm a Glasgow punter here, a minus punter. I think that number is way too low. But again, it's a small bet. So, most of these games for me, small bets. Not interested. Not getting involved yet. It's tiny. It'll be part of a multiple or a very, very small bet.
Yeah, fair enough. I can tell you next week the small bets will be gone and we'll be getting into the bigger ones in the Six Nations, that's for sure. Leinster up against Cardiff. We know the depth of Leinster. I mean, Fareed, I'm looking forward to hearing how many players Leinster are losing, but I'm sure it must be almost a full team of Leinster going off to Ireland. They play against Cardiff here. They're big favourites, but we've seen what this Leinster second team can do. I'm wearing my Leinster jersey, by the way. And Mark, I know you said you'd be late tonight. You may not be watching. You're not going to see the jersey for a while because from next week I'll have the sponsor's jersey on for a few weeks. So enjoy the Leinster jersey here while you can. Gav, -17.5 against Cardiff. I can't bet against Leinster, even at such a big handicap. Not when they're at
home. This is not big. That's number one. Get over that. This is definitely not big. Secondly, I've gone against these double digits, 20 plus minuses. I've gone against them and I've seen my ass. I'm not interested. For me, I haven't made a decision on this game, but right now I can tell you this is Leinster minus or no bet. I won't go against that 70. Too low.
Excellent.
I need to do more research on that.
Just before we move on to the next game, I'm going to be doing a Met preview with Chris after this, but you and I are going to talk. The only reason you're not joining us is because you're going to have load shedding. But you and I are going to chat probably tomorrow evening around 4:15 or something. We'll go through your selections for the weekend. So any horse racing fans can join us there. And we'll obviously have it on the site afterwards as well because a big race day coming up. So looking forward to that. Let's see if there's any comments in the live chat. Fareed just mentioned Leinster losing 19 players, but they have a great squad. So I'm 100% in agreement on that. And Cardiff losing 8. And here's an example, Gav.
So what's that? Leinster 19 minus 8 is 11. 11 of 17, 11 of possibly a minus 28, this could have been, or 26. I'm going to say it's probably rightly priced, and I'm still a minus punter at 17.
Now, fair enough, but even in that case, knowing Leinster's depth, they lose 19 players. Their 19 may be less felt than Cardiff losing their 8 best players, if I can put it that way.
Yes.
So, although they only lose 8, they just didn't have the depth to start with. So, I'm finding myself leaning towards Leinster here, and Fareed is joining us on the minus, and Fareed, I'm probably going to go along with most of what you say tonight because you're well jacked up on the teams there as well. Let's move on to the next game, Gav. This game,
you've got to get Fareed on the show. If the Oak knows players like the conductor and whatever, those are the guys you need on you.
That's a no. We'll definitely. I think someone did challenge Fareed to come on once before, and we're certainly going to have I think we'll be having a good few new guests over the course of the year. Some of the older punters retiring a bit or taking a bit of a break, but we'll have the old boys back as well, don't worry. Edinburgh +0.5 against the Sharks. The Sharks have now moved into favourites on this game. Gavin, they were underdogs, but this is really one of those games where I would expect the Sharks to deliver because they do have access certainly to a full pool of players, whether they use all of them or not, as opposed to Edinburgh would have lost a lot of players now to the Six Nations. In fact, the Six Nations is the time for me where the South African teams can really made an impact, but they can really stamp the authority on this tournament a bit. And here we've got Edinburgh +0.5, and I'm in the Sharks camp. I can tell you now, I think the Sharks are going to win this game.
Yeah, so this was the 15-10, 16-10 earlier today, before the team announcement. So the team announcement, here's a great example. It's shaved 5 points off this game. I don't know what it did to the other games, but this particular game, 5 points was shaved off here. Or possibly 6, I suppose, now that Sharks are actually minus, so they'll be a 0.9 or 0.95 to win the game. I'm going to agree with you. I think the Sharks are good enough to win this game. Edinburgh is the kind of team, just like the previous team we spoke about, where losing a lot of players. I believe this is a double-digit number of players. Fareed can confirm. Edinburgh have lost enough players to make their team non-competitive. The Sharks can win this game by a lot. And these are the kind of games where you go, you know what? I'm not just going to take the board price here or the 9 to 10 about minus a half, which is effectively the board, I suppose. I'd rather be looking for a minus 9.5 or a minus 7.5 at a price, or even a 15.5. A lot of these bookmakers have got 15 plus or 13 plus. Those are the kind of bets I'd be looking for here. And rather spend less money and have a go and say, you know what, if I'm right, I'm going to be properly right. And if I'm wrong, I lose a little bit, I'm happy. If the Sharks win by 11 and I've taken 13 or more, I'm not going to be angry. I'll be a bit disappointed, but I'm not going to be angry because the stake will be too low. So this is the kind of game you can really target to have a big price for a small stake here. And you'll probably get it right. They can win this game by 20 plus.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that strategy in that game, in my opinion. Let's move on to the next one then. Gav Connor, minus 9.5 against the Lions. I mean, the Lions have really been battling this season. Connor, of course, beating the Sharks in their last URC game, 24-12. But that was very much a second-string Sharks side. Fareed will hopefully let us know how many players they're losing to the Irish squad. But I imagine we're looking at about 6 or 7 would be my guess. And we've got a Lions side that is desperate for victory. My gut feel here is that the Lions could possibly beat this handicap. Gavin, what do you think?
The Lions are not desperate for victory. They won last week. In fact, they were leading by 22 at halftime. It was 27-5 at halftime. They scored so quickly. I backed them last week. I backed them on the board and I took the plus 4.5. But at halftime, I actually took minus 13.5. So I'll tell you, I lost the second half bet or the halftime bet. I was very disappointed at how they were very lazy in the second half. And some of my mates said to me, listen, the other team woke up and started playing properly. And I don't believe that was the case. I honestly think that the Lions were, I think they thought they'd won the game by a country mile. And when it got down to the last 10 minutes, they realized they had to play properly. At 9.5 again, I go back to that 5-2, 28-10, 3-1, that sort of range on the board. I'm going to take a bit of board here because I think there's some value. And you know what? I don't want to take plus 9 and they lose by 11 or even plus 9 and they lose by 7 or 8 and it just scrapes home and I'm sweating the whole game. I'd rather take the 3-1 here about the board because they can win. They won last week and there's no they've lost nobody. The Lions have lost nobody. I don't think there's a single Lion in the Springbok team. Never mind that. They obviously the Springboks aren't playing this week, sorry. But yeah, I don't think there's no reason for the Lions to rest anybody this weekend. They'll go for it. And they're doing okay. They've obviously got themselves into the second round of this competition. And they're in the top 8. They're defending a position. This is I do play chess as well. And I know that Ruan's going to be watching this and thinking that I haven't had a game with him yet. I'm going to have a game with you eventually, Ruan. But yeah, I'm a defensive chess player. I come out and attack later in the game. Initially, I take on the thing. And I think the Lions are going to do the same thing here. I think the Lions, in fact, you know, I'm not a first half punter, and I know you've had a few, but maybe take the Lions in the first half. Yeah, they're probably going to perform better than they do in the second half, but they'll cling on and they'll have a go. And I think that's, I don't know, I suppose we need Fareed. I think Fareed, sorry, he said that the Connacht had lost four players. You know, again, plus 9.5, plus 10.5, that sort of number gives us a 3-1 board price. I'm happy with that. That's all I'm going to do. Board for me, small stake, and Lions can win this game. And there is a bit of bias here. I don't have to lie about that or whatever. But yes, the Lions have done okay. They've had a reasonable season this year. They haven't been completely rubbish.
Well, Dino just saying that they do score.
Dino's are better, yes. They'll score more points in the first than the second. I agree, 100%.
So, yeah, if you're going to go Lions at halftime handicap or something, there would be the way to go. Fareed saying Lions create a lot of opportunities and do not convert. Yeah, I've also noticed that about the Lions. But hopefully they will start converting soon. We just got one more game to go in the URC. I haven't brought the Gallagher Premiership in, Gav, because I know you're not much of a Gallagher Premiership man, and I'm not really either. And, we'll have a look. I don't know if I'm going to get a time to do a show on that this week. But
no, I'll tell you what we can do with a bit of time, Brent, is we can talk about the outright of the Six Nations and maybe let's look at the fixtures, and that'll give us a bit of a better understanding, because I know that I did look at it a while ago, but it was before Christmas. I haven't looked at it recently. This particular game, yeah, just check one more thing here before I talk to you.
Zebre up against Ospreys, plus 8.5.
Now, Zebre are up against everybody. They're at the bottom. They haven't won a game. They haven't won a game in the last five. Yeah. Plus 8. Oh, they're at home, plus 8. Okay. Fareed, we need you here again. How many of these teams lost?
And the Ospreys have been playing some good rugby. Sorry, I tried to put my monitor on and for some reason it made everything go haywire. I wanted to have a look at the fixtures in the Six Nations there. But Zebre up against Ospreys. I mean, Ospreys have been playing well. They must have lost a few players to the Welsh squad
Listen, I'm going to tell this you game, just off the no top of that. Yeah. Now, I'm going to say again, take the board here. Take Zebre on the board. That doesn't matter to me, Fareed. It's more about the Ospreys. There you go, 13. I'm going to tell you, Zebre on the board, 3-1, 33-10, whatever you can get. Seriously, yeah, they'll push them close. There's a plus if you're a bit unsure, but if you want to lower your stake and get a bigger price, I'm going to tell you this home team can win the game. Yeah, they can win the game. They won nothing, but this one they can win.
Yeah, I also like Zebre there as well. And it seems like the boys in the live chat for retain difficult, but the plus there, most of them leaning on Zebre as well. Gab, I tell you what I'm going to do then. We've got a bit of time. I'm going to bring up the best bets so the guys who are just interested in the URC can see the best bets. And then we'll chat a little bit about the Six Nations betting after that. So what are your, if I have to look at what we've discussed tonight, what's your best bet of the weekend?
All right, so I'm going to tell you the Sharks to win here, to win the game. Absolutely, best bet. They have arrived with the best team that they probably could have. I know Sia Khaleesi is not playing, but I think he's already playing in France, even though it's months away. Yeah, I like the Sharks here this weekend. I did like them at 15-10, and I think they win this game comfortably. This is the one where I'm targeting a really big price. I want to look for a 5 or 6-1 strike here on a proper minus. But yeah, for the safety of everybody else, they want to just have a bet. Take them to win the game, they'll win the game. I just think they'll do better than that. The next one would be the Bulls and the Stormers, both minuses at the price. The Bulls minus and the Stormers plus the 9-10s. Those are very safe. And yeah, the Bulls can win by a lot. I wouldn't be taking a big price on the Bulls. I think they'll beat that minus, but I don't think they go massive there. Stormers, on the other hand, can win the game. Of course they can. So, yeah, you could do – I'm going to suggest something I don't suggest very often, but they've got those Yankees and Canadians, and you take your 26 bets to the Canadian, and you could go for a price here with all of them. Go find 3-1 in every game and do a Yankee with it. It's the kind of thing that can really pay if they all arrive. But I don't like to tip multiples. Yeah, Sharks for me is definitely the best bet, followed by – I'm going to go Stormers. Yeah, Stormers second best bet.
Right, excellent. Well, I think you and I are going to align on best bets. I'll have to see what price the Sharks are when I get the newsletter done in the morning. Hopefully, they haven't shortened any further than they already have.
You could pull a Henrik and give them Monday's price of 2-1 if you wanted to.
Yeah, okay. I'll put a 15-10 there. right, Six Nations chatter. Gab, so what do you think? I mean, Six Nations, I haven't, unfortunately, I normally have my monitor up and I can bring up some stuff. It'll be a bit difficult for me to do now. But let's have a look at the betting first of all. I'm gonna share my screen in just a second. I think I should be able to get it right. It's fine.
This is all about who plays. They play three times at home and three times away, so... Let's have a look at Ireland first. It's 1.
So I'll run through the Six Nations betting so long while you have a look there. So outright betting, we got Ireland at 14-10, France at 17-10, England 4-1, Wales 12-1, Scotland 20-1, and Italy 500-1. If I'm not mistaken...
No, this is Ireland and France, and it's trying to determine...
I think Ireland host France in the last game. I stand to be corrected on that one. I haven't really had a look at the Six Nations yet.
England, last game, France, Wales in the last game. I'm trying to find the Ireland France game. Just 1 second. No, it's round two. So yeah, that the 11th of February, that's when it's all going to be decided. That's the game that decides who wins this tournament. And whether there'll be a grand slam on off. And yeah, see Stephen Marks going Ireland. I have to agree. So if you're going to back Ireland to win the Rugby World Cup, I'm going to tell you to take your bet before. Yes, it's either, you know, 5 minutes. It's either two at home or three at home. Correct. That's what I was trying to say if I didn't get that across earlier. Yeah. If you're backing Ireland to win the World Cup like me, you need to get on before the Six Nations because they're going to shorten. If you're looking to back France to win the World Cup, wait for the Six Nations. Wait for after the Six Nations. In fact, don't back France until, I don't know, the game three in the group stages. Then you'll get a price. But the whole world, or Europe, is going to be backing France. They're not. All that English money is going on to France. They'll back England a little bit, but they won't back England. It won't be serious money. The French price will probably shorten a little bit, but once Ireland win the Six Nations, the money will start coming for Ireland. If you want to back South Africa, just wait a little bit, but back them before June, before any rugby championship and any tours that come down here. I can't even remember what is coming here. But on that note, I don't know if you heard the news today, Brent, but the under-20 World Cup rugby is in South Africa, 2024, next year.
Okay, that's good.
And they're playing in Cape Town, which is going to be quite exciting. So I've never seen an under-20 World Cup game. And now that I'm living in Cape Town, I'm going to go and see one next year. So I'm quite excited about that.
Excellent. I can tell you the boys are very divided on Ireland and France in the live chat there.
Yeah, Fareed's right. France, do you understand how to beat them? But they're not going to beat them.
Right. Well, let's call it a day then on the show. Just a reminder that if you are into your horse racing, you can stay close to the YouTube site. We've got a show coming up. I'm going to be talking with Chris Sturdy, who has got a runner in in the Guineas next week. Actually, the WSB Guineas, he's got a runner there, so he's coming up to Joburg. So I'll hook up with Chris for the first time in many years next week. Looking forward to that. But as it's scrolling down below there, 10 o'clock, we got the Met preview, and then Gav and I, time subject to change, but 4:15 tomorrow afternoon, we'll go through the horses.
All right, so I just want to give a bit of a pretext to that, or a post-text to that, should I say. I do bet on racing. It's always been my second passion after rugby, a local South African racing. I don't get involved in that other stuff. But I'll tell you this much, Mark, and yes, I drink Black Label. I drink the liter bottles. They come in a case of 12. So yes, I'll happily take
I just those. Want to say one thing to Mark, and Mark will know what I'm talking about when I say this. Mark, can I suggest that you send him South African beer that you order in South Africa and don't try and send it from overseas? Because look, and I'll expand on that story in the next week or two as well. But Mark has learned some harsh lessons about South African customs, I can tell you. But yes, Gav, yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so if you enjoy having a bet on the racing, and I'm not trying to come across to the purists here. I actually study their cards all day long, every day, and they're looking for favorites and whatever. I'm not a favorites punter. So I'm going to give you, I'll give a very short story here to explain where I'm coming from. So my kid wants to learn how to surf. So my wife immediately goes, but there's sharks in the sea. In other words, where I'm going with this is she'll find reasons not to do something. I'll find reasons to do something.
I could just stop you there and say that she might be related to my wife's family. Because I always say, they will always think of the worst possible thing that could happen and cater for that.
No, carry on.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Frankly, it's the problem with the world at the moment is that even rugby, there has to be, you know, these new rugby laws coming now, tackling behind, below the waist. There has to be, if we want to make rugby totally safe, then you can't play it. And this applies to everything. There's a point where you've got to say the risk is reasonable and people playing it accept the risk. I'm not saying allow high tackles and all the rest of it. But
I agree with you.
You cannot eliminate risk. And if you eliminate risk, you eliminate any joy there is in life, quite frankly. But now
they'll ban chess because a piece falls over and exactly. It might get hurt. You can't do that. I agree. Yeah. So anyway, where I'm going with racing is, listen, I listen to these experts. I watch that Weighted to Win and I obviously read the card myself, and I and I listen and I follow money and all of that stuff. But where I'm going is I'm trying to find a reason why a favorite won't win. So I'm looking for a reason for another horse to win. So I don't look down the card. So if you're looking for favorites, you want to be justified that Captain Ransom's going to win and what's the other one called? I can't even remember. But I'm don't watch the show because I'm going to tell you why they're not going to win. And I'm going to find something that is going to win. And I look for outsiders. And yes, in 12 races at Kenilworth on Saturday, it's probably going to be 3 or 4 favorites that win. And there's going to be 8 or 9 that don't. And I'm going to be making money in those races. That's where I'm coming from. And I've done my homework, and I did quite a bit this evening. I was hoping to do the show with you tonight, Brent. But I'll be ready for tomorrow. So, yes, if you're looking for some outsiders, I'll give you a skeleton pick 6 and bar pot and jackpot, and you can add your own fancies in with that. And, yeah, we should make some money.
Okay, so we're looking forward to talking to you on the races tomorrow afternoon. 10 o'clock now with Chris Surdy. We'll be live. You can find it, obviously, on our YouTube channel. Final comment here about Fareed. Rugby's failed to grow as a product. It's in a desperate need of an overhaul. I'd have to say you're 100% right there, Fareed, and I don't think they're going about it the right way, quite frankly. To all the boys in the live chat, great having you back. Gentlemen, just 1 week till the Six Nations. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter down below. I think most of you are subscribers already, but for that sponsorship announcement tomorrow and some very exciting competitions. So look out for that. Gavin Cohen, great chatting to you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow for the Met. Thanks, everyone.
Perfect. Have a good one. Thanks. Enjoy the evening. Cheers.